Number one. How quickly technology changes. So many people have a computer in their home nowadays.
I know. I feel so behind the time. Question. What does the woman mean? Number two. This spring weather is perfect for playing tennis.
Unfortunately, the only time I get to enjoy it is when I'm walking to class or to the library. Question. What does the man imply? Number three. When are you ever going to finish this report? You've been working on it for 3 months.
Only 2.5, but it does seem longer. Question. What does the woman say about the report? Number four. I hear you have a brother who went to school here too. Have I ever seen him?
Well, he graduated last year, but you would never have guessed that we were brothers. Question. What does the man imply?
Number five. Nobody told me that Bill was in the hospital.
Sorry, I meant to give you a call when I found out, but it slipped my mind.
Question. Why did the man apologize to the woman?
Number six. I didn't know if I will be able to hand in my economics paper on time.
Haven't you heard that the professor gave us another week?
Question. Where did this conversation most probably take place? Number seven. I get the feeling that Sally never really listens to me.
You said it. It's as if she were always using the time to think what she will say next. Question. What do we know about Sally?
Number eight. Hello, this is Mark Smith. I'm calling to see if my blood test results are in.
Dr. Miller just sent them to the lab last night, so the earliest they could be back is tomorrow.
Question. What does the woman mean? Number nine. I bought this fish to cook for my dinner tonight, but it doesn't look all that fresh to me now. Would you say it's still all right to eat?
Let's take a look. Oh, if I were you, I wouldn't even think of it. Question. What do we know about the fish?
Number 10. My roommate and I have decided to do our own cooking next semester.
Then I hope you'll have a lighter schedule than this term.
Question. What problem does the woman think the man may have? Passage 1. How men first learnt to invent words is unknown. In other words, the origin of language is a mystery. All we really know is that men, unlike animals, somehow invented certain sounds to express thoughts and feelings, actions and things, so they could communicate with each other, and that later they agreed upon certain signs called letters, which could be combined to represent these sounds, which could be written down. Those sounds, whether spoken or written in letters, we call words. The power of words, then, lies in their associations, the things they bring up before our minds. Words become filled with meaning for us by experience, and the longer we live, the more certain words recall to us the glad and sad events of our past. Great writers are those who not only have great thoughts, but also express these thoughts in words which appeal powerfully to our minds and emotions. This charming and telling use of words is what we call literary style. Above all, the real poet is a master of words. He can convey his meaning in words which sing like music, and which, by their position and association, can move men to tears. We should therefore learn to choose our words carefully and use them accurately, or they will make our speech silly and ridiculous. Questions 11 to 13 are based on the passage you have just heard. 11. What do we know about the origin of language? 12. Where does the real power of words lie? 13. Which of the following statements about the real poet is not true?
Passage 2. Too often, young people get themselves employment quite by accident, not knowing what lies in the way of opportunity for promotion, happiness, and security. As a result, they are employed doing jobs that afford them little or no satisfaction. Our school graduates face so much competition that they seldom care what they do, so long as they can earn a living. Some stay long at a job and learn to like it. Others move from one job to another, looking for something to suit them. The young graduates who leave the university look for jobs that offer a salary up to their expectations. Very few go out into the world knowing exactly what they want and realizing their own abilities. Nearly all search about in the darkness, and their chief concern when they look for a job is to ask what the salary is like. They never bother to think whether they are suited for the job, or, even more important, whether the job suits them. Having a job is more than merely providing yourself and your dependents with daily bread and some money for leisure and entertainment. It sets a pattern of life and, in many ways, determines social status in life, selection of friends, leisure, and interests. In choosing a career, you should first consider the type of work which will suit your interests. Nothing is more sad than taking on a job in which you have no interest, for it will not only discourage your desire to succeed in life, but also waste your talents and ultimately make you an emotionally bitter person. Questions 14 to 16 are based on the passage you have just heard. Number 14. Which of the following is the best title for this passage? Number 15. What are graduates mainly concerned about when looking for a job? Number 16. Which of the following statements is true according to the passage?
Passage 3. Bill Grant was a famous newspaper editor in the United States. He worked for the same newspaper from 1926 to 1968. He started as a clerk in 1948. Later, he became the editor. That was the position he held until he retired. Bill wrote his first story for the paper the day the New York stock market crashed in 1929. When the first news of the stock market crash came into the office, Bill immediately sat down and wrote up the story. The editor liked it so much that he used the story, and he didn't make any changes to it. After that, the editor decided Bill should be a writer. He felt that Bill was not using his ability working as a clerk. After the first story, Bill became especially interested in financial news. But he wrote stories on just about everything. In 1945, he spent 5 months in Europe. His editor had decided he should write about the end of World War II. One of Bill's greatest moments came in 1946. A story he had written on war won the National Newspapers Award. Bill took the prize, but he gave all the credit to his editor. It was just before Christmas in 1967 that he learned that he had cancer. 6 months later, he was dead, but he never stopped his work as an editor. The day before he died, he had spent a full day at the office. Questions 17 to 20 are based on the passage you have just heard. 17. When did Bill begin working for the paper? 18. Why was he made a writer for the paper? 19. Which of the following statements is not true about Bill? 20. How did Bill die? 21.